We welcome into the game a friend of our program. He's a radio host for Moody Radio South. He's a former player at the University of Alabama. He knows what it takes to win a national champion. I welcome in our friend and former University of Alabama football player, Martin Houston. Martin, good evening. Welcome into the game, my friend.
Good evening, Ryan. Hope everything's going well. What a day.
Huh? What a weekend.
What did something big happen over the weekend?
Well, I mean, listen, I had a good preaching
Yes, church was awesome. You weren't talking about church. But you were talking about worship.
Look, so you try to get me in trouble.
Oh, yes, that's okay. The tide rolled without having to do anything, huh?
They did, and you know, I think that's the biggest shocker of it all, because we talked about the possibility of one of those teams getting knocked out, but both of them within a combined, an hour and 15 minutes? Not even that.
Yeah. You know, we ended the last time I was on the program thinking it's going to take a couple weeks for us to figure out if the Tide could get back into it, and in one weekend, what an amazing weekend. And I shared with my kids before the game, Ryan, I said, you know, it's one thing to chase the champion. It's another thing when you're the one being chased.
Absolutely.
Those cheeks get tight, and you just don't relax and play quite as loose. And you saw that happen a couple times, both in Kansas State as well as in Oregon. They just were tight and couldn't play because it was theirs to hold on to. So when you think about that, it's even more impressive what you've seen SEC schools do over the years.
Let's talk about Kansas State for just a minute. I mean, you looked at those guys, and it seemed like, you know, everyone was talking, this is the best team in college football, and Klein had won the Heisman Trophy. We'd already pretty much handed it to him. But then they really didn't show up. And sometimes in life, you know, Baylor scored 14 first quarter points. They led going into the second quarter, 14-7. Then it was 28-17 in the end of the second quarter. But it seemed like Kansas State was sort of hitting them out there by Baylor.
Go ahead.
And they're not supposed to. You know, nobody's supposed to compete with the best team in college football, right?
Yeah. You know what happens is I think Kansas State was very similar to Alabama, and not necessarily on the same level, but very similar in the fact that their offense really drove the team that made a defense look dominant. In other words, all the teams up until last week against except for Baylor, had chased Kansas State. For us, everybody had chased us except for LSU and Texas A&M. And when you make a team have to chase you, your defense becomes better when the team becomes one-dimensional. And the same thing that bit us against Texas A&M, we fell behind, and we didn't play like Alabama. We played like whoever, you know. And the same thing happened to Kansas State. They fell behind, and then Baylor just kept pouring on. Which, I don't know if you saw the stat, Baylor's only had 10 three and outs all year. All year, only ten times did they take the field this year, and not get a first down at least one. That's amazing.
Martin, one of the things that you said last week, and we were talking with you as we do each and every week, Martin Houston, Moody Radio South, and also a big college football analyst, helps us out, break down college football, and a guy that understands what it takes to call himself a national champion, because he did that back in 1992. Martin Houston here with us in the game. Martin, let's go back. You made a point, and I think that's really when a lot of us started to realize that Stanford was going to beat Oregon because of that inside, you know, the red zone, even though it was the 25s where they start out overtime, that offense really was stagnant in overtime and couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, when you make that field, when it gets smaller and tighter and you don't have to cover as much, it decreases the lanes, it decreases the space that the defense has to cover, so it eliminates the advantage that you have in having those wide-open receivers, wide-open offense, because the guy didn't have to be as quick and as fast in the red zone as he does in the open field. And when they limited all but one or two big plays against Oregon and made them drive, it just took them out of the game. They're not a very patient team. That became obvious. When you win and make those uncharacteristic going forward on fourth down, it's cute. But ultimately, when you run into a good team like Oregon did against Stanford, and they play smart football all night, and you play and take those chances on fourth down, it comes back to bite you.
Martin Houston here with us. Martin, let's talk about the Alabama and Auburn game. It's very important, especially for guys that grew up in this state and really understand what this rivalry really means.
Well, you know, that game, you know, you can't throw out the records to a degree. This year,
can you throw out 3-8 though?
No. I said to a degree.
Oh,
to a degree. And what I meant by that is, when you turn on that game, you're going to see an Auburn team play probably more intense than that you've seen them play all year. The fact of the matter is that Auburn just doesn't have the talent this year, and when you take the fact they don't have the talent, and then the team and the coaches and the university seems to just be in disarray, all those things, I think it'll quickly go away. But there will be a sense of pride early on. But I just think this Alabama team will run away with it.
You look at Alabama playing up against Auburn this weekend. You play Georgia the following week. We had a question earlier talking about reestablishing what's so known for Alabama football, running the football. Do you see Alabama maybe going back to some of that? Because, you know, as you told us last week, maybe one of the best ever in college football as far as offensive line. And many people have said that. Some talent among the offensive line. Go back to the basics.
I think you will see Alabama go back, and even though it was Western Carolina or Catamount, what you saw Saturday is what you're going to see for the next three games. In other words, two things I think is going to happen. I think we're going to go back to the running game, which elevates AJ's ball handling skills on play action as well as being able to read off a play action pass, which is important. I think you're going to see that go back up. And also, I think you're going to see the running game go back up as well. And with that, you know, Alabama gets back that mentality. You get back in the other guy's head, and you begin to see that dominant football that we've become accustomed to.
We're talking with Martin Houston. We're talking about Alabama football. What was your reaction? Be honest with the crowd now. Saturday night, when you were watching the overtime game, what was your reaction like?
I'm excited. And as a matter of fact, I ran down and woke my wife up, and I said, I cannot believe this. We got back in one night. You know, I mean.
what did she say? That was probably the biggest reaction.
She was like, huh? Because she had been asleep. She didn't watch the game. But I was, you know, what I did tell my two younger children that's still at home with me, I said, boy, the Haterade consumption just went way up. Because there was Haterade being drank all last week. And it was celebration. This week is being drank because they hate not just Alabama, but they realize, barring some type of just freaky weekend over the next two weekends, SEC is back in it regardless. You know, but I will point this out. This is very interesting, Ryan. I don't know if you've thought about this. Right now you have Alabama, Georgia, you got Georgia, and you got Florida team, those three teams, and then the ACC is still waiting. And then, you know what they're waiting on? The opportunity to prove that the SEC is overrated. Georgia Tech plays Georgia, Florida State plays Florida, and Clemson plays South Carolina. The ACC could prove everything wrong. And think about that. If all of a sudden they were to win those games, Jimbo Fisher would have a valid point, wouldn't he?
He would.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But I mean, the computers really do. They do not like Florida State. I mean, we were looking at it last night. I think it was 16th, right. 17th. Florida State's not one of those teams. And, you know, but let's go back to that. I think that really sets up maybe the next question is I saw a meltdown today on Feinbaum earlier with Tim Brando who was talking about the playoff scenario. I mean, is this – can you get any better than what we just witnessed this weekend? That's fun to me. Is to watch Alabama earn a way back into what would be a BCS national championship game. I think playoffs take that away a little bit.
Well, I think it's awesome. I still like the playoffs, don't get me wrong, because I think that there are some teams that can get left out because they can't do anything except for play the people in their conference, like a Florida State. I can understand Jimbo Fisher, except for the fact, I take it back, he did choose to schedule a couple FCS schools. But I love what happened this week is because it is, in some way, it's being decided on the field, even though it's not, you know, like the NFL playoffs and basketball and things like that. It's an exciting weekend, and it makes you watch games that you normally wouldn't watch. And if there was a selection committee and playoff committee, you may not watch those games. You may not be as enthused about that because you're waiting on someone else to give you that option. I mean, to give you that entrance into the championship game.
And in one sense, I think it really helps you. I mean, because I don't know. I didn't know a lot about Baylor. I mean, I knew Art Briles. I knew that Robert Griffin III had been replaced. I mean, the basics about Baylor. I knew that they were not having a great season returning off the Heisman Trophy winning campaign last year. But it seemed like that, you know, you now know a little bit. So I think it does things for college football that the playoff just cannot give you, because it really seems to be now teams would be – it's not about 1 and 2. It's about 1 through 4. Martin, before we close out, man, give us a word of encouragement. I know it's Monday. You have a great ministry impact 35, and then it's martinhouston.org, Martin Houston's ministry, a part of Moody Radio South, and a big college football analyst right here on The Game. Martin, give us a message of hope as we continue throughout this week.
Well, what I want to say is simply, as we go into the holiday season, remember this, that there's people who are dealing with loss, there's people who are dealing with grief, and the Bible tells us to give thanks in all situations. It doesn't say be thankful for all situations. We're all going to have ups and downs. We're going to have losses. We're going to have those things. But when we have the right attitude and the right mindset, and one that says, you know what, I have life, I still have breath, and I'm going to maximize the opportunity that I have, I'm going to make sure that I take the rest of the life that I have and use it to impact for good. And, of course, for me, impacting for good means impacting the world for Jesus Christ. As we go into this holiday season, I pray that you have a blessed, safe travel and a blessed holiday season. And, Ryan, can I do one thing real quick?
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm at the National All-Star, 9- and 10-year-old All-Star practices.
Okay.
And, hey, guys, I'm talking to the Game radio station. I want the Nationals to give a shout-out right now for the Nationals 10-year-olds. Can y'all do that? You're on the radio right now. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, Nationals on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, I'm coaching out here with the 19-year-old Nationals from Para. Great all-star, great opportunity to be involved with the kids. Thanks for letting me do that.
Hey, Martin, thanks so much, man. And, hey, keep that whistle handy, man. I know you're going to need it. It's Coach Martin Houston out at the practice there. Martin, thanks so much. We'll talk to you, man. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and the listeners.
Absolutely. Right. Martin Houston, won't you check it out? Impact for Life. It's martinhouston.org, Martin Houston Ministries, and a big part of our program here. Martin Houston helping us understand college football, breaking down the tree, getting the win over the Ducks, and also the Baylor Baptists upsetting Kansas State. So, I guess it's the Baylor Bears. Did I say that incorrectly? Hey, I do want to remind you about Desperado Steakhouse, the best steaks in T-Town. If you're a filet guy, if you're a ribeye guy, hey, you want to go see our coffee-rubbed ribeyes? You want to try that? You thinking about treating some family coming in to a great place to eat? Why don't you take them to Desperado Steakhouse, the $6 lunch special, all available right there at Desperado's, 11 until 4:30 every day of the week, 7 days a week. You can find the $6 lunch special, 14 sandwiches to choose from. Hey, they'll have to add number 15. If Alabama wins the next three games, they'll have to win. They'll have to add number 15 because they've got one sandwich to represent every national title. It's Desperado Steakhouse right there on McFarland Boulevard. We'll come back. Will Lowry's coming up in about 10 minutes. But until then, we'll take phone calls. One line open, 342-9904, 342-9904. You're listening to The Game on Tuscaloosa Sports Authority, 99.1 WDGM.